Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 11.
Apyena patni ubakata priya yehe gatrai.
Apyena patni ubakata priya yehe gatrai.
Tanvan drishyam satisu nirvrtim achyutova.
Tanvan drishyam satisu.
Kantang sangat kucha kumkumaranjitaya. Kundasya jagulapati ihyavati gandaham.
Weather.
Ena.
Of the deer.
Patni.
O wife.
Upagataha.
Has been encountered.
Priyaya,
together with his beloved.
Iha,
here.
Gatrai,
by his bodily limbs.
Tanvan,
producing.
Drisham,
of the eyes.
Sakhi,
O friend.
Sunivirtim,
great pleasure.
Achyuta,
the infallible Lord Krishna.
Va,
your.
Kanta,
of his girlfriend.
Angasanga,
because of the physical contact.
Kucha,
on the breast.
Kumkuma,
by the vermilion powder.
Ranjitaya,
colored.
Kunda,
of jasmine flowers.
Sraja,
of the garland.
Kula,
of the group.
Gopis.
Pate,
of the master.
Iha,
around here.
Vati,
is blowing.
Gandaha,
the fragrance.
Translation,
please repeat.
O friend,
wife of the deer,
has Lord Achyuta been here
with his beloved,
bringing great joy to your eyes?
Indeed,
blowing this way
is the fragrance of his garland
of kunda flowers,
which was smeared
with the kumkuma
from the breast
of his girlfriend
when he embraced her.
Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti provides the following charming commentary on this verse.
The gopis spoke to a doe.
O friend, wife of the deer,
from the bliss in your clear eyes, we can tell that Sri Krishna is expanded in joy with the beauty of his limbs, his face, and so forth. You are eager to realize the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, and thus your eyes are following him. In fact, he is never lost to you.
Then the gopis, seeing the doe, continue to walk in a natural way, exclaimed,
Oh, are you telling us that you have seen Krishna? Look, as this deer walks, she constantly turns her head back to us, as if to say, I will show him to you. Just follow me and I'll show you Krishna.
In this merciless Vrindavana, she is the only merciful person. As the gopis follow the doe, they happen to lose sight of her and they cry out,
Oh, why can't we see the deer?
Who is showing us the way to Krishna?
One gopi suggests that Krishna must be somewhere in the vicinity and that the deer, being afraid of him, must have hidden herself to avoid the possible mistake of revealing his presence.
Conjecturing in this way, the gopis detect a fragrance that has by chance blown their way, and they repeatedly declare with great joy,
Yes, yes, this is it.
By Krishna's physical contact with his girlfriend, his jasmine garland was smeared with the kumkuma powder on her breast, and the fragrances of all these things are reaching us.
Thus the gopis smell the aroma of the two lovers' bodies, of Krishna's jasmine garland and the cosmetic powder on the breast of his lover.
Om Anjanati Bradrasya Jananjana Chalakai Chaksarun Mrati Manitasmai Sri Guru Venu Namavasvudaya Krishna Vastar Guru Sri Mujayapta Sarami Dhrami Namachalpadaya Ntai Kapabdaya Nikolkadam Daya Nikolkadam Namaskaraya Krishna Prasthaya Vaitya Simulakaya Swami Namaste Sarasati Gauravani Pacharya Vishesh Sunyavada Vasitya Desthara Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaitya Gadadha Sasari Gaur Bhaktavinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So now we are in chapter 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, rather canto 10 of Srimad Bhagavatam, and chapter 30. In this chapter we are studying about the gopis' search for Krishna. We have also been searching for so many things. We call in the modern, I don't know, I went through this when we go through university and you're bombarded so many things. People tell you, why don't you join this movement? You know, there is leftist movement, labor movement, there are communists, there are capitalists, and I used to get into big arguments in college over these things. As we go on and on, we read so many different kinds of things. Then we read Dale Carnegie, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. That was one of my favorite books for a while. Anyway, what happens is we all are doing our search. I don't know how many of you have read Siddhartha. Siddhartha is a book that was a turning point. It was written by Hermann Hesse, the German person. And this all in universities, when you're studying, you know, these things go all the time. People keep passing you, read this, read that, read this. Of course, those days I've never read about or even knew about Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, why I'm saying all this, we all do a search. And just like the gopis were searching for Krishna here, and they were looking at the female deer, the doe, to guide them, show us where Krishna is. So similarly, in our search, or rather in my search, I stumbled upon Srila Prabhupada's books and his devotees, On the Way to Krishna. There's a book, I'm sure you all know about it. And I thought, okay, the search ends here, and decided. So similarly here, the gopis, they are searching for Krishna. They are tormented by separation from Krishna. That's the whole thing. The mood is, they've been with him and now they have. So there is separation, there is torment, and they are looking and they are like mad women. They're screaming, where is Krishna? And they're talking to the trees, they're talking to the birds, they're talking to the deer. Show me, tell us, where is Krishna? So you must understand the mood, the gopis, it's entirely a different kind of mood, which is very difficult for us to understand, even if we read, even if we speak. The relationship that the gopis had with Krishna was a very, very different or difficult one. Though we say it's madhurya, which means conjugal love, still it is not very easily understood. Conjugal love, all we can do is we can think of, whatever that we see in the material world, a boyfriend and a girlfriend. But this is more than that. And the conjugal love is not the same. The conjugal love that Radharani or Chandravali had for Krishna, the conjugal love that Ashtashakis had for Krishna, and the conjugal love that Manjaris had for Krishna, they all are different grades. It is not the same. Anyway, what happens is, but we don't have to, we just know that it's madhurya. Like when I used to be temple president in my place, I used to tell the devotees that as far as this temple is concerned, there is only one relationship, and that one relationship also you can't follow properly. That is dasya. Even dasya, we cannot. How qualified are we to perform or be a servant of Krishna? We are not qualified. Anyway, coming back, this is a syllabus. We have to finish the syllabus. So there are five kinds of relationship. The first relationship is shanta or neutral. In this particular state, a person is already fried with material things. He's already fried. He's got his lot of plans and his plans have been failing. He's making a lot of arrangements in this material world. But what happens? Instead of happiness, he finds this beautiful girl. He likes her so much. He wants to marry her. So much of difficulties. Finally he marries her. And what happens? They have big problems. Like that. I'm not saying it is because of, it is the material world. Whatever plan, I'm not saying about man, woman, whatever. Whatever plans, you'll find that there will always be some problem. So in this particular stage, he has detachment from material bondage. Oh, family, oh, it's problem.
Oh, house is a problem. Oh, work is a problem. Everything is a problem. And what is the easiest thing for him to get out of this problem? Intoxication. Why? He can forget. You take the first beer, the house is going further and further. With the second drink, the wife is going further. With the third, fourth drink, everything is gone. Now he becomes happy because the material misery is not there. That's why he's happy. He's not happy because it's coming out of him. It's just that he's forgetting. Oh, I take the, you know, when I drink, I forget everything. So because of this forgetfulness, there is happiness. Now that's the Shanta stage. The next stage is, of course, what is known as the Dasya stage. Where here, there is a mood of service towards Krishna. Somebody comes here in the Dasya stage, in the Shanta stage, he could come to the temple and then he initially is watching what's happening. And then it's just a lot of devotees are serving, doing this, you know, cutting vegetables, or washing pots, whatever. And then he also feels, I also want to do something, let me do some service then. Or even if you don't want to do this, somebody is going to force you to do. Hey, you're eating prasad every day, come on, wash some pots. So somehow or other, even otherwise, you get involved with the what is known as adasya, transcendental mode of service. You come to that stage. The next stage is of course even higher. This is sakya. That's friendship. Now this is very difficult because if you consider Krishna to be a friend, Prabhupada always says, don't aspire to see Krishna. So don't. People want to say, have you seen Krishna? In my preaching days, they'll ask me, oh, Hare Krishna, have you seen Krishna? Then, you know, I am this half Krishna. I am this half Rama. So I'll ask, what about in between? Is there some asura there? Because people have this notion that they see. Many will tell you, have you seen Krishna? I said, no. I saw this side when I was lying in bed in the hospital. In the hospital, they say, middle of the night, there was a flash and Rama was there. And there was another flash, Krishna was there. I saw both of them. So you are saying Hare Krishna, you have not even seen Krishna. So this is a concept that when Prabhupada says, don't aspire to see Krishna. You perform your service in such a way that Krishna will see you. That's what Prabhupada says. And then he says, he promises, don't worry, if you do your service, finally you will meet Krishna face to face in the spiritual world. That's the promise he gives. Now, back to what I'm saying is, sakya, that is the mood of friendship. So we can't say, now, if I say, John Howard is my friend. Yeah, but he doesn't even know me. But he should tell me that, oh yeah, this guy is my friend, not me telling him that he is my friend. There's also some dangers I've seen in my early years. There were Masajis who look at Jagannath and they say, oh, Jagannath is my son. And they have said that for a while. And then after some time, because suddenly they have refused to come to the temple and they say that the temple is infested with ghosts. So from here to there. So he couldn't, what I'm trying to say, the dangers of being sentimental about the whole thing. Now, more than sakya now as friendship is what is known as vatsalya, which is known as parental affection. Now parental affection, of course you all know, like Yashoda and Mishpasadev and Nanda Baba, and all these people had this parental affection towards Krishna because they wanted to see the Lord as their son and they got this special mercy from the Lord. So higher than vatsalya is madhurya, which is conjugal love, which we will not talk about. Like I always say, we are not even bodily realized. The gopis can go on and on for weeks and days together without eating, without sleeping, without doing anything. But we, if it is prasadam is like, then we all get very upset. So that is our sin. Already when you see that board outside there, half day fast, half the moon will be angry. Wow, they are fast. We have to fast half a day. Why? So, now, all that is okay. Now, theoretically, what we have to understand is, though there are five kinds of relationship, this relationship encompasses, for instance, conjugal love, madhurya, encompasses the other four.
Which means there is Shanta there, there is Sakya there, there is Vatsalya there too, Dasya there too. Otherwise it's not that Madhurya means only Madhurya, I only love, I won't do anything. No, it's not true. Similarly, Vatsalya, it might not have conjugal love, but it has the other three or other four, which includes Vatsalya. Dasya. Like that, you have got what is known as Sakya, friendship, and then Dasya, which is also has got Dasya as well as Shanta. Like that. For instance, I'll give you a simple example. A mother, this is in the material world, a mother has a child, the child cries. And the child is crying, the child is very angry. Why? The child has passed who? It's all dirty and mucky and you're not taking care of me, you know. Blaming the mother for it. And what does the mother do? The mother sings a song and then a daddy, 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 and you know, cleans the child up. Not only that, after cleaning up, he's still angry, you didn't come, because of you I'm dirty. So he has to play like a friend. First was the servant. You know, the mother comes as a servant, now becomes a friend playing with the child in equal thing. Terms, and then finally becomes the mother by feeding the child now. So like that, even in the material world we can understand that this relationship is like that. So similarly in the spiritual world too. Now what we have to know is Krishna has different relationship with the jivas. We all have different eternal relationship with Krishna and only with Krishna. There is only relationship with Krishna. You can't have relationship with Ganesh, you can't have relationship with Durga, you can't have relationship with Shiva. That's not there. That's not there in the Vedas. It can be there in your head. You can have this concoction, but it's not there. According to the Vedas, you have only relationship with Krishna, and that's an eternal relationship with Krishna. For Ganapati and Shiva, and I'm not criticizing, you only do pujas. You can do pujas, that's what the Vedas say, do pujas and then get some benefit out of the puja. You want long life, you want a beautiful wife, you want wealth, then you go and do puja. Ganapati Homa Puja, Lakshmi Puja, so many pujas there for you to perform for your material advancement. So that's how it is. So it is not that we Hare Krishna's a fanatic, no, that's what it says. The confusion has gone so long that when you come and create some title, dispel the confusion, they say that you are confused. I remember the story, there was this Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, he went to a mental asylum in Trivandrum, this was many years ago. So his advisor says, why the mental hospital? No, I want to go. He's the kind of a person who wants to do something. Then he said, he insisted. Alright, the Prime Minister is insisting, so let us go. So he went to this mental asylum, and so this one guy was going on doing something, some funny things. You know, as if you go to the mental asylum, everybody is doing their own thing. Somebody is trying to climb the tree, and somebody is coming down, and somebody is searching all over the place, and I mean, probably, yeah, somebody is doing this too. I mean, anyway, what I'm saying is, he goes to this person and then he asks this person who was trying to do funny things. So Jawaharlal Nehru asked him, so why are you here? So he asked him, who are you? Me? You don't know me. Nehru wears keeps a big red rose on his chest and he's got a special cap. The whole world knows him. And you know, so he said, who are you? He said, I'm Jawaharlal Nehru, the Prime Minister of India. So the madman says, don't say that. I said the same thing and they brought me here. So, don't say it. So it is a crazy world, it's a mad world. So the point is, what I'm saying is, that the relationship with the jivas, Krishna has different relationship with the jivas. So even the Pandavas, you would say, oh, Pandavas were the favorite of Krishna. Even with the Pandavas, the relationship was different. When Krishna meets, for instance, when he meets Yudhishthira or Dharma, the eldest of the five, he pays obeisances to him. He goes and touches his feet and then Yudhishthira gives him blessings. When he meets Bhima, this is more like on the same
same front. I mean, on the same level. So Bhima, what is it? Good eye might. Because they are like on the equal level. So good eye might. That was it. With Arjuna, it was different. It wasn't it. How are you doing? And he gives him a punch. And then they both roll on the floor, they roll on the bed, they're eating together. If Arjuna is eating something, he snatches out his hand. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. In Vishwarup Darshana, Arjuna is saying that, oh, I called you. When he sees the Vishwarup, then he gets so frightened. Oh Krishna, I called you. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, oh friend. And, you know, and then in jest, while sleeping, while eating, we did so many things together, you know. So he's frightened. Now you actually the God. I mean, I thought you were my friend, like that. So we understand that. With Nakula and Sahadeva, the mood was entirely different. With Nakula and Sahadeva, they will pay obeisances to Krishna. They will come and touch his feet and Krishna will bless them because they are youngest of the whole lot. In the Indian culture or the Vedic culture, age is a very important factor. Of course, these days, it's all, things are different. Now, in this aspect of the relationship of Krishna with the Pandavas, there is an interesting story some of you might have heard. I've told this story before. Anyway, what I'm saying is there is a very nice story. You all know that Krishna and Arjuna, they all were together. But did you all know that they had big battles themselves? They fought against each other. Now, this is a fascinating story in Padma Purana. You all know about Vishwamitra, the sage who is very famous for his fiery temper. Now he had a son by the name of Galava. Galava was a Brahmavadi. Now we all know about Mayavadis. But Brahmavadis, they are not like Mayavadis. They are attracted to the impersonal Brahman. You see, the absolute truth or God has got three aspects. He's got the Brahman aspect, and he's got the Paramatma aspect, and he's got the Bhagavan aspect. So he is actually attracted to the impersonal Brahman aspect. That's a Brahmavadis. Famous Brahmavadis, Sukadeva Goswami, as soon as he was born, he was just walking away. And the father said, wait, I have to give you the thread. I have to, you know, do my, I'm not interested in anything, just walking away. The four Kumaras, they are Brahmavadis. And so this Galava is also Brahmavadi. But what is most important, Brahmavadis, they are by dint of the real attraction to it, because they attracted one part of the Lord, they attracted to the Lord, one aspect. They will meet a pure devotee, and the pure devotee will somehow tell them about more about this, and they will become a devotee themselves. That's about Brahmavadis. Now Mayavadis, you have to be very, very careful. Mayavadis are very offensive to Krishna. With a Mayavadi, you can say, oh, you are God, I am God, my dog is a God, your mother-in-law is God. Everything you will accept. The minute you say Krishna is God, you will jump. How can you say Krishna is God? They just can't. You won't have experience. You won't know all this. I mean, I was in the preaching field for so many years. They will jump. And they just can't stand it. You can't say Krishna is God. You can say everything else is God, they will accept it. So they are very offensive, so you have to be careful there. So what happens is this Galava, he is doing some ablutions, and Chitrasena is a Gandharva who is going up in the spiritual, in the sky, not spiritual sky. And he was with his friends, and suddenly he spat. When he spat, and Galava was ready with his puja materials, this pet came and fell on his puja materials. So, and Galava was very angry. And whom did he choose to complain to? Normally you will complain to a friend, you will complain to your neighbor, something like that. Or at best, temple president. He went straight up, GBC. He went straight up to Lord Krishna himself and complained, look, I am doing this and somebody is spitting on my thing. And of course Krishna wants to protect his devotee as well as the Brahmana doing his thing. Who did it? He said, by sunset I'll bring his head for you. That was Krishna's promise. And of course, this is terrible state. And Narada, Of course, in the so-called Indian thing, they always say that he's a troublemaker, which is not true. So he quickly runs to Chitrasena, doesn't know about it. You know, he just spat and he's just going away. So Narada goes to me, look, you know what happened? You spat and Gaurava talked to Krishna and Krishna wants your head. So Chitrasena, what? And then the wives were there. He tells the wives too, you know what's going to happen? And the wives, so they all cry to him, so what to do now? So Narada, this is where Narada is very smart too. So he says, all right, there's only one way, go to Subhadra and appeal to her. So they go to Subhadra's palace, there's a pit of fire, and the women are wailing, the wives are wailing, and Chitrasena is going round the pit. He wants to jump into the fire pit. I'd rather die than be killed by Krishna, like that. So anyway, so this wailing was going on, and Subhadra was in the palace, and she said, what's this wailing? And she saw all this happening, she came running out, and said, what's happening? Oh no, my husband wants to kill himself. And Subhadra said, why? You know, because, okay, don't worry. So promise. Yeah, it's known as Mangali Diksha, which means Mangala Sutra is what the, you know, person when he marries, the male ties or the groom ties a sutra on the thing. Anyway, here basically it means that they want to be, to have their husband. They want a husband. So she promises, okay, we will stop only if you promise that you will have. Alright, I promise, stop the whole thing. And they stopped. Next, what happens is, of course, Krishna comes to the thing. He wants to do battle. He starts battle with Chitrasena. He wants to kill him. Before that, Arjuna is already there. And Subhadra said, look, I promised him, you have to help me. So Arjuna, alright, no worries. Of course, husband. At least in the beginning stages of marriage, you listen to everything that the wife says. So Arjuna said, okay, Arjuna was no different. He said, alright, no, I will protect them. So Arjuna said, alright. So when Krishna came in, and also you must understand, this is the Kshatriya spirit. When somebody comes to you asking for help or protection, the Kshatriya will give protection. That's his nature. He said, okay, now I promise to give you protection, and they're ready to fight. So that is the spirit. So you have to understand like that. So what happens is, then Krishna and Arjuna now do battle. The big battle going between both of them. And the whole world is trembling, and you know, even the two big people, I mean, not two big people, the Lord himself and Arjuna, which the Lord himself says, you know, he is Bhaktosime and Sakacheti. You know, in Bhagavad Gita it says, Bhaktosime, you are not only my devotee, Sakacheti, also my friend. That's what, you know, Krishna is revealing everything to him. And when the battle becomes too difficult, then Subhadra runs in between. And then when she is in between, specifying both, because this side is Krishna's sister and that's Arjuna's wife. So both of them, so the women are very smart actually. They should be made leaders all over the world. There won't be war, I can tell you. They'll be very smart. They can sit down and sort all these problems. Put all these men, they'll be all the time fighting and killing. So, anyway, what happened was, the minute they went in, everybody stopped. So then, of course, the long thing in the house, what the dialogue between all of them. But anyway, in essence, or in conclusion, what happens is Krishna tells Chitrasena, okay, you ask forgiveness from Galava. And he goes and falls at his feet. And then, so Galava says, alright, forget it. And that's the way it ends. So what I'm saying is, the even in the relationship sometimes these things happen, but it's all Leela, it's all to show that the special mercy and the position of the Lord. Now let's talk about our eternal relationship in the spiritual world with Krishna. That's what our books say, that we had an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, time and time and again. Prabhupada always mentions that we were originally in the spiritual world, we have come here. So what happens, what happens in the Hare Krishna movement now here in our temple, what we are trying to do is perfecting our real identity of one's constitutional position. That's what we are trying to do. Whatever we are doing here, we are trying to perfect our constitutional position. So that is, Swarup is our original position. And Swarup Siddhi is the perfection of this spiritual identity. That's what we are trying to do. No matter what happens, you know, we can have so many problems, so many things going on, or so many good things, whatever, but that is what we are trying to do, and that's what we must tell people we are trying to do. Other people get carried away with so many things. Now, but that is exactly the anti of what is happening in the modern world today. You know, everybody, you know, you must think on nationalistic line, on racial line, on religious lines. Muslims will say, we all are Muslims, we are together, and practically every nation will say, you're an Indian, you're an American, you're an Aussie. What's the song they always sing? I don't know, something like, Aussie, come on Aussie, Aussie, or something like that. Is that right? Come on, and if you're not, come on, Aussie, oh yeah, come on Aussie, or something like that. Now, the thing is, you have to, when Australia say playing, say with Greece, and then the Greek supporters are for Greece, from Australia, so they get very upset, hey, what are you deciding now, you know, are you supporting, you know, you stay in Australia and you want to support Greece, and the match between Croatia and Australia, and there's a lot of noise about this. So what happens is India plays against Australia, all the Indians are supporting, all the Indians want Australian citizenship, but they'll be shouting India. So this is a problem. It's not a problem here, it's a problem all over the world, everywhere. You know, somehow or other, you know, you've been told, India, oh, you must think, oh, aren't you? Actually, politicians keep doing this. You know, I asked my Guru Maharaj why, you know, they said, yeah, that's because it's easy to manipulate the whole group. The whole politics in India is groupism. Either this way, that way, you know, all is groupism. So it becomes many. You become. Oh, I'm this group, you know. So I'll have to listen to what the group says. So you easily manipulate it. So that's the whole thing. So it's a very, very smart way of manipulating people. Lefties, rightists, like in America, they say whether they're far right and far left and center and all that kind. Even in Australia, what are the liberals and Labour? It's the same thing. Now. But, so, that's what is happening in the material world. Now, we'll think, you know, when Prabhupada writes in the books, you know, our devotee, you know, our karmi, you know, he behaves like this. So then, yeah, that guy, a devotee, he's, then you think, that's me. That is not true. That is not true. Because we fall into this trap. We think that now that I'm coming to the temple, I'm wearing tilak and I'm wearing kansimala, I'm already a devotee, but that is not true. We fall into the trap because the three modes of material nature are affecting us too. Even in the temple, we can get into this material trap. We can get sidetracked, like what I call this sidetracking. So like he's a bhakta, he's a prabhu, he's a senior devotee, he's a junior devotee, he's temple president, he's prabhu, he's mataji, you know, even that. Even, of course, lately now they don't like to be called Mataji, you know. You know, when you call somebody Mataji, they don't like, you know, I'm young and not mad. Why are you calling me mother? I'm not, you know, I'm too young to be a mother or something like that. Some concoctions is going on there. So what they do now, even you have to call Prabhu. That's okay with many people, but I find it very difficult because I don't come from a culture like that. And even now they've improved from Prabhu, they say Prabhuvi. There is improvement on that angle. No more Prabhu, now Prabhuvi. Now, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, but it's not like that. I call my daughter, who's 25 years, I call her mother. And nobody frowns upon it. If you go to Indonesia, Stana, everybody else is either a father, Bapa, or Ibu, right? Everybody else. You can see a small boy, the old lady will say, Bapa, Daddy, Mama, or like that. Where are you from? Father? That's culture. Culture is, you can't create culture. See, what is happening, when we talk, basically, we talk about spiritual. What is spiritual? There is ritual and there is SPI in front of it. Now if the SPI is gone, it becomes a ritual. Now what is this SPI? The Supreme Personality's interest. If the Supreme Personality is not there, that's it. Then it's a ritual. You come there, I pull your ears, you pull your ears. We can do so many things and go back. You know, we have to think. When we are saying, Prabhu, oh Lord, that's the meaning. My Lordship, that means I am servant, that's why I am addressing His Lordship. And you address the rest is culture. You can't create culture overnight, or you can't do that. And, alright, maybe they feel that women are not well protected, so they want that way. Then, of course, that is already policy, but that should be done in a proper way. Maybe they should insist all Hare Krishna devotees should not divorce. Yeah, that's a good one. We want the women to be protected. That's a good one. So when you take initiation in front of the Guru Maharaj, then you must say, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no divorce. That's good. If the women were to be, must be protected, you know, this is what, how, you can't get protection by just changing from Prabhu and Prabhuvi. How, I can't understand. But anyway, that is what happens is, let's have Lord Chaitanya giving us the last word on this, because Sanatana Goswami actually is asking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, what is the constitutional position of the soul, of the individual, of the jiva? And he says, his position is to render service eternally to the Supreme Personality of God. That's our constitutional position. Nothing else is important. What is important is that we have to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. Jivera sarupa hoye Krishnere Nityadas. That was the conclusion. I remember, in Mahabharata, for instance, we also understand, Bhishma Dev says, all those people who fought in the battlefield, whether on the Kaurava side or on the Pandava side, all of them, they attained liberation. That is Bhishma, that is our authority. He says that. And because of, they attained Swarupa. And not only that, we also understand Bhishma himself, at the time of his going, what did he do? He was lying on the bed of arrows, and then he called Krishna. Krishna came there, and while looking at him, and then he left his body. So that way he also attained liberation. So looking face to face, he's also telling us, by looking at Krishna face to face, that is the best way. Because we also read in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chetasthante kalevaram. Whatever you are thinking and whatever. Now, if you think of Krishna at the time of death, then definitely you will reach him. If you are thinking about your dog at the time of your death, oh my God. Now you won't believe it. I was working in palliative care. I don't know whether you know anything about palliative. Now palliative medicine, which means when you have got terminal illnesses like cancer and things like that, and you are dying. You're already dying. The rule is, you can get admitted to palliative care if your time limit is 2 weeks. If 2 months, you have to go to somewhere else. You don't come here. That means if they think that you're going to die in 2 weeks, they will send you here. So, of course, it's very beautifully done. You come there, then you say, what I like, I want, can he give me this VB? Is that VB? Victoria Bitter. I want 2 in the morning, I want 2 in the... You know, actually nurses serve them in the hospital. I was shocked. They serve whatever they want. And apart, because they have come to die there, that's the whole thing. One patient was trying to get him for so long. Couldn't, because there's a long list, you do. There's a wait list. There's a wait list. Although they'll say, oh, this is ready for palliative care, they'll inform, okay, you're in the next in the list. And when this person comes, you know what, the first thing she tells me, oh, doctor, I was dying to come here. I said, you have come to the right place. You're dying here. You have come to die, actually. So what they do, that's only, the beer is a small thing, but what actually they do, because the pain is so intense, but it's the way they look at it. The pain is so intense that they give like morphine round the clock. There is a... She will know that. Yeah, she will know so that. They have got a special gadget
and you put it on your body, nobody knows, you're happily sleeping and lying down and laughing because every minute, slowly morphine is going all the time into your body, all the time, 24 hours it's going. And not enough. Why I'm saying there's not enough, what they do, they come and put all your favorite things in the room. And you can see all kinds of crazy things, from their houses to motorcycles to cars, their favorite cars. And the relationship, the husband was married 3 times, 4 times, he is also there, between they were very, very friendly many years ago. All these kind of things. And so that is the arrangement in the material world. Now, we should not worry too much about our sarup. Now, this is also people, okay, what am I in the spiritual world? Were I a grass? Bird? A monkey? A peacock? Like that, people start worrying. People even sometimes, like I said, devotees have their own, we say no intoxication. Devotees have their own intoxication, their own trips. You know, people will talk about new age, they'll talk about, you know, Prabhu, last night I dreamt, you know, Prabhu, this happened and that happened. Mental speculation. Dream is mental speculation. That's all. It's happening in the mind. When the body is asleep and the mind is awake, that is dream. So when you anything happens in a dream, and if you are a great acharya, like Vallabhacharya or Ramanujacharya or Prabhupada, then your dream has got essence. Good to have good dreams, bad to have bad dreams. But dream is a dream. Now, why I'm saying this is, about my past life, they're going to ask, this person was very good. In fact, Saraswati Thakur was such a great personality on this kind of things that he could even tell your past life. And Prabhupada told the future life of Jawaharlal Nehru, you know, which may not be very appropriate here. No, but what I'm saying is, people have, what was I in my last birth? It doesn't matter whether you were a buffalo or whether you were a king in Banaras, or it doesn't matter. Because whatever it is, your constitutional position is to serve the Supreme Lord eternally. That is the constitutional position. So, now in this issue, what happened was, like many, many years ago, they had this big thing about this swarup. Everybody wanted to know their swarup, their position. Now, every year there'll have to be annual issues, this one, that one. Then one year, of course, the early years, but soon after Prabhupada left, there was one that Prabhupada did not teach us enough. There was a big thing, people were leaving. Oh, Prabhupada did not teach us enough, and they were going all over the place. And then there was another one was the origin of the soul. The Prabhupada kept saying that the soul, we originally from the spiritual world, and there was a big argument on that, and many people left. Books were written, books for, books against. Origin of the original position of the soul, there is one by GBC. GBC also came out of the book. Now, this particular one was when the devotees were running to Vrindavana, because there was this Swamiji who was giving a mantra, and by chanting this mantra, or when they were then, their position or the true spiritual identity was revealed. And he told them that, oh, you are a manjari from the spiritual world, you are a peacock from the spiritual world, and things like that. And what happened was, some of the devotees, you know, the chada is born like this, now chada's position turned, the chada became this way, sorry, I've seen all this, the chada became this way, like this, oh, it became this way now. And this was happening, because I'm a manjari, was dancing like this, now he's dancing like this, I'm a manjari now. So, this actually happened. And the, what happened to the peacock devotee? And he was dancing. And then gently looking to see if Puma has come out. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? So, again, but this is serious business. I mean, if you know the history, this is serious business. I'm not joking here. Big, big names. All there. So what I'm saying is, this is the pitfalls. What I'm saying is, it's a pitfalls. We have to be very careful. We don't go there, because all we know is that Prabhupada has told us this, that if you remain in ISKCON and perform your devotional service, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.
So we should be very happy. He has told us so many things and he has told us this. Why we accept so many things and reject this? And he knows enough. See, we had that kind of brains that Prabhupada only can give this much. He couldn't give us more. I mean, that much. He has to go through and know everything there. And we cannot assimilate. We want to run all over the place. So, you'll find that even like matters like Rasa Leela, people, you know, because after this we're going on to Rasa Leela. And Prabhupada, there was a talk on something else. You know, sometimes people ask questions, not related to the topic. When the class is on, the question should be on the topic. So Prabhupada finishes the lecture and a member of the congregation says, what about Rasa Leela? So Prabhupada said, I am not this body. So he said again the chap said, what about Rasa Leela? So Prabhupada said, I am not this body. So again, what about Rasa Leela? So Prabhupada said, try to understand, I am not this body. See, that means Prabhupada gives so much importance. You understand your body. First you have to understand your body, then you have to understand Krishna. Now, understanding your body itself is impossible. No matter what you say, how much we say, all the time we can pose ourselves as great devotees, but this is not easy. I mean, you have to be a very, very great personality. No, because even if you see in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya discussed Rasa Leela only with three people. That's Ramanandaraya, Sarup Damodar and Shikhi Mahati. Only these three people he discussed Rasa Leela. There are thousands and tens of thousands of disciples devotees. He never, to everybody, the way is Nama Sankirtan. So, why, if you don't understand yourself and you don't understand Krishna, you'll misunderstand the whole thing. And what happens? Your conclusion will be that Krishna is immoral. He's just running around with women, which is the concept in India. Even big politicians will say that Krishna is very immoral. So that was the conclusion. So we'll also fall into the trap and finally we'll get confused and, oh, Krishna is doing so many things. God himself is such an immoral person. And we'll think like sometimes when you do the Christian preaching, so they will say, you know, your God is actually encouraging war. He's telling this fellow to go and fight. That's what he's telling Arjuna, to fight. You see how he's not a peaceful person. And he'll explain that, you know, war is inevitable, even if, you know, but of course the whole thing, you know, that he goes so many times to, he goes as a messenger of peace and, you know, nobody wants to accept it. Duryodhana was so, you know, all that you know in Mahabharata. So the point is, and that was what was happening in Gaudiya Desh. Today happens to be Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance, so I just want to say a few words about it. So the point is that because at that time, when that was 100 years ago, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, the concept in Gaudiya Desh, that part of West Bengal, was that Krishna is an immoral person, and the Vaishnava tradition that we hold so much high in esteem, was only a religion of the beggars. In a state, the beggars, they were chanting Hare Krishna to get some alms from people. That's all. They were doing just. So that was the state. Now, it is there in the life of Vivekananda that when he saw this so-called sahajas, you know, men and women performing Rasa Leela, and he just said that this is rubbish, and you know, just a waste of time. Now what happened was, when he was born, and soon after that, he comes from a fairly religious family, but there was a lot of Durga worship. Mother was a very strong Durga worshipper, and I'm sure this is in the Bengali tradition or Oriya tradition, whatever. And so it is there in his life story that there was even rituals of whatever. They even slaughtered goats and buffaloes. You know, that was the mood. He's coming from the Kanavan environment. He was known as Kedarnath. Kedarnath actually is the name for Lord Shiva. So, what I'm saying is there was strong Shakta influence or Shaiva influence in the family. Now, his paternal grandfather was dying and he had to go and stay with him. That was the father's father. That was
That stay was the turning point in his life, because he was in the Vaishnava tradition, and he told him a few things, and he could predict his death, and so he became very spiritually inclined at that young age. And then he was in the government service, he made a big talk on Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, nobody knew Bhagavatam. Whatever they did was in Sukhara. And that was very, very well received when he was saying. Because the idea was that God is ultimately personal. He said, no, God is ultimately personal. And that form is the 200 form of Krishna. So he established that. And that was well received. Now he was later on in government service during the British period. Then one of the first things that he did was, there was a place where there was a Brahma Daitya. There was this tree and this ghost occupying the tree, and people were praying when, you know, prayers were going on. And also there was a lot of disturbance in that place. So the British government said the best person to go is Kedarnath, can set this right. And so he went there. So he was thinking like that, and then there's a scholar who came to meet him. And he said, alright, I got a work for you. And he said, I want you to read Srimad Bhagavatam under this so-called tree where the Brahma Daitya is staying. So he read the Bhagavatam. It took him 1 month to finish. And when he finished reading the Bhagavatam, the whole tree crashed and fell. And of course some people were making money out of this, were not happy. You know, that their livelihood has been spoiled. Now the other thing was, in another place there was one Vishikshena. He called himself Avatar of Vishnu and he was terrorizing people. And so he actually charged him in court. And the people who were quite known to him, they came and told him, don't do that. After your family, it'll create so many problems. But in the Vaishnava tradition, on Vishnu and Krishna was so strong that, you know, this is an imposter, then he has to set it right. And he charged him, he was sent to jail for 1.5 years, but he didn't complete his term because he died some unnatural causes. He himself died in the jail. And then soon after that there was an imposter Balaram. And you know, in India every corner you will get Bhagavans. You know, Bhagavan, this is so much of description of Bhagavan in the scriptures. But every Bhagavan Rajneesh, I mean, forget about the rest. This is the joke of the, I mean, how they can do it, I don't know. You know, first thing is birth itself. You're covered with stool and urine, you're covered with all kinds of funny things. Krishna says, my birth, my activity is all divine. These fellows, they're taking birth in all kinds of funny situations. And the people are saying they're Bhagavan. You know, Rajneesh, I mean, rather call him Urinesh, you know, Bhagavan Urinesh. Anyway, what I'm saying is, there were so many imposters like that, and he set them all right. And then, of course, not for nothing, is known as the seventh Goswami. He was already started writing. He was very good in English. You can tell it's very difficult to read his English. I mean, you can read it to understand, I mean, to think, you know, how you could have thought that kind of English. Oh, unbelievable. Similarly, even Bhakti, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his English was very difficult to believe that they could have written such English those days. Is unbelievable. So he goes on the question. That time were already had gone to Germany, and there were German scholars who appreciated it and were trying to contact him and things like that. Anyway, to make the story short, while he was in Krishnanagar, but his mind was all the time going on. He's just like anyone else. He was dabbling in many philosophies, like all of us do. We dabble in many philosophies. And then finally come to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, he too was like that. So, nothing to be ashamed of. So what happened was, when he was looking up this tradition and he found out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tried to get this Chaitanya Charitamrita, was so difficult, Bhagavatam was so difficult, and finally he lays his hands on them, and then he decides to move closer to Navadvip, and he wouldn't get, and finally the closest he got was Krishnanagar. That was about 25 miles from Mayapur. And that's what Mayapur was known. Nobody knows. Now we are talking Mayapur. Nobody knows Mayapur. And then after having stayed there, and then the land, then he made inquiries, and the Ganges shifts, and the whole place is shifted. And then finally, he finds this old maps which says Sri Mayapur, and he's convinced. And then he gets to go to Shurbhavaji, and who discovers this Yogapita, the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And then in 1908, he actually took Babaji initiation. And though he was Babaji, Babajis don't like to talk. They like to be secluded. They want to be the closest. That's why some of the Babajis will be found in rubbish dumps and toilets and all that. Why? So people won't come near. You see, are so dirty. They won't come and disturb you. They don't want to disturb. So you have to sit there. And people come, Swamiji, what about my daughter? Can you do that? So they don't like that. So what they do? They keep themselves dirty and they stay in very unholy places. So what happened in when Gaurakrishna Babaji Maharaj took Babaji initiation, because he's already a recognized scholar in the Vaishnava tradition, people are flocking to his house. He built a house in Puri and he's staying there. So still people were flocking to him and meeting him. So for 2 years, in 1910, he made this solemn vow that he will not meet anybody anymore. And then for 4 years he was like that. In 1918 he left this 1914, on the disappearance of Gadadhara day, that was today. So that means today is also the disappearance of Gadadhara Pandita. Now, two lines on Gadadhara Pandita. Disappearance, we know Panchatattva, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, that's the Gadadhara, Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinoda. Now he was a Nimmise, originally from Chittagong. Chittagong is in Bangladesh. Originally from there, and they moved to Navadvip, and they became, he was more or less 1 year younger to Mahaprabhu, and Nimai became his best friend. He was the closest friend of Nimai actually. And now his mood was that of Rukmini Devi. They say Radha Rani too sometimes, but his mood was basically of Rukmini Devi, which is whatever Mahaprabhu wants, he'll go and do. He brings sandy rub space on his forehead, and he brings garlands for him. That was his mood. Now, what is very interesting, I mean, there's a lot of things about his life. What I thought was most interesting, and many of you won't know, is that he was the spiritual master of Vallabhacharya. Now, this many of you might not know. Vallabhacharya is the founder of the Pushti Marg. You know, in Gujarat they have this, again Gujarat, Pushti Marg. You know, they have this baby Krishna and they put a lot of laddus for him. They like baby Krishna. You know why? The big Krishna is dangerous. You know, he's all the time running around with women, or he's a big politician. You know, though both are too dangerous. So if you want baby, stay here, eat this laddu. Every day they'll give laddu. But they will be eating different kinds of food. But they will only give this small Krishna only laddu, you know, poor laddu or poor Krishna. Now the thing is, only in ISKCON you got pasta, you got pizza, you got mee goreng, you got laksa, you get name it, all over the world, you know, whatever, everything we give. Because it's Lord Jagannath anyway, Lord of the universe. Now what happened between him? He became a close friend of Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya is of the four sampradayas, Rudra Sampradaya. He is the Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya. And he was a friend of, he was contemporary, he also met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now what happened is, Mahaprabhu disregarded him. Because Vallabhacharya had a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam was not appropriate or was going against the Bhagavatam of Sridhara Goswami. We are using the Bhagavatam Sridhara Goswami, I mean in the, you know, the translations and stuff like that. Because of that he disregarded Sridhara Swami's commentary, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not very affectionate towards him, or was not, or rather he disregarded him. So at the same time, Gadadhara Pandita did not want to give initiation if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't like. Of course, nowadays you've got political initiations. If one person doesn't like, you can go to another place, take another guru and take another initiation. You know, we can do all this now, but those days you can't do that. So Mahaprabhu, but Gadadhara Pandit was so submissive that Mahaprabhu liked that, in fact, and he didn't go for a fight. So
somebody wants initiation from me, you're not giving permission. There was no fights like that. And he was given permission. After giving permission, he initiated Vallabhacharya. But this is not accepted by Vallabhites. Most of them don't know that. But you will meet Vallabhacharya, Vallabhites all over the world. But they will not know this. This is just for you to know so that you can say, yeah, this really happened. Hare Krishna, any questions? Any comments? Oh, that is a nice one. Oh, no questions. That's good. Hungry. But no prasad today. Thank you very much. Kantraj Madhavan ki.
Yeah.